So I was thinking, harking back to our most recent drive.
Okay. Look at this nice wisteria, by the way. That purple pine cone looking thing.
Uh-huh. Yes. Is that wisteria?
It is.
Or lilac?
No, it is not lilac.
It's okay. Not fucking lilac. Yeah. Asshole.
Asshole.
Botanist. Having a casual conversation.
You have no idea.
What?
I said you have no idea.
Yeah, right.
How accurate that is.
Why? You know botanists, do you?
Oh, you're just saying. Do I know botanists?
All right, I'm sorry. Why would I question that? And probably birders as well.
Well, I am one of those.
Yeah.
You don't even have to leave the car to find one of those.
Yeah, but I mean how they talk to each other. That's not a...
Oh, we mostly...
not a downer.
We mostly communicate via Twitter, actually.
Yeah, well, okay. I see what you did there.
Yeah, it wasn't that...
Wasn't that much of a stretch for
Listen,
you.
Listen, if I bring my 100% every single time I make a joke...
Yeah.
I'm gonna have nothing left. Episode 30, Weathering the Meltdown. In this episode, your hosts Steve and Mal hurtle from point A to point B while waxing philosophic about the need for mental health moments, the quantum physics of tree falls, and the merits of hugs. Strap in for the ride to Redacted. Listeners, please be advised there are occasional cuss words in these episodes. So now you know.
But more to the point for this session, so I was thinking of what came up in our last ride, yet to be released.
Okay.
Where we discovered that we had different, we were on different journeys.
Yes.
That you were looking for an overall
theme.
I've
also thought about that.
Yeah. So it occurred to me, fair enough, that's fine. So I've been thinking like what, and maybe you have, like what overarching themes are candidates for like the whole shebang, the whole podcast.
I mean, for me, this is really like the line that I draw through the scatter graph of our themes, whatever, is basically what we said at one point was like kind of our brand, or if we refuse to be one person, which is like two wannabe philosophers in a car getting coffee. No.
Yeah,
basically that.
Look out, Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, we're coming for your whole gig.
Move over. Hold our beer.
Get in the backseat.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, my thought was it was not incompatible with what you just said. It's consistent, but a little less broad, more like, one thing I've noticed is that happens a lot is Steve getting life lessons from Mal about like how to deal with people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you could say that's philosophical, but yeah. I mean, if you say what we're after is a philosophical wisdom about a take on life and existence,
yeah,
that's pretty broad.
Yeah, but yeah. It does exclude some things.
Yeah.
Like, we're not talking about sports that much.
I was thinking the sport, yeah,
well, we're driving past a soccer field.
Yeah, right. Well, we may or may not be driving past a soccer field. We're not talking about sports betting is what came to my mind.
Yes. So there are definitely some things that rules out.
Right. We don't have to put, at least not yet.
Yes.
On this ride, or any, gambling problem?
Yes. Oh, by the way, today when I was talking to my students, I was explaining the rules of Jeopardy, because they're 7 years old. And I was like, here's the thing. I know that you guys don't have cable anymore, because it basically doesn't exist. What I need you to do every once in a while is tell your parents you feel sick, stay home, and watch daytime television. They still have Jeopardy on streaming. Just brush up. It'll make you so much better at playing this game. And don't. And if you tell your parents that I told you that, I will deny it.
You didn't actually.
I said this word for word. I said, it's good for you. Not all the time, but sometimes you do have to do that.
Wow.
To live a balanced life.
All right.
It's true. Some, like, mental health days are no joke. Sometimes you do have to take off of work
or
school.
I know, but like, advising your second graders.
Yeah, every once in a while.
To watch daytime television.
Yeah, I was like, you guys are not watching enough daytime television. I'm telling them to watch Jeopardy. That's practically educational.
Like telling relatively young kids, all right, so here's what you're going to do. Occasionally, you need to, like, malinger and
yes, every once
and
in a while.
Lie about it and then stay home and watch daytime TV.
Yes.
And I'm thinking the positive spin I'm putting on it is that is a life skill. That's,
it is.
That'll be with you for your entire life.
Yes. If
you can
give
100%
of your energy to everything all the time, you're going to die. You're
going
to burn
out.
Yourself out, and you're not going to have the energy
right.
that you need to give 100% to the things you actually want to give 100% to.
So
anything that you're required to do for your job, for school, whatever, give 70% so that sometimes you can give 100%. And you can give 100% sometimes on the things that you care about, like your hobbies. Those are the things that make life worth living. That's the thing that people save up to retire to do. Like, do it now. Do it the best you can by scraping back, like, a little bit of your energy from your job. Because if you give 100%, you're just going to die.
All right. First of all, the wholesomeness of this is almost sickening.
Okay.
Or breathtaking, as one of our listeners would say.
Sure. Except
who,
I said that.
Who needs... Oh, right. Sorry. You said that about
yes.
them.
Yes.
Right.
Him.
Okay.
Yes.
And that... Him. And... Well, as being more general, they don't need to be told that.
Sure.
They will, people do.
But they
learn.
Need to be told to watch this show because they don't have cable.
Okay.
Because when you stay home sick from school,
right.
the things you watch are like crappy daytime TV.
Okay.
And if they can stay home from school and still watch Bluey or whatever, they're going to do that. And that's not what the staying home from school is about.
So this is a largely Jeopardy-driven
yes.
suggestion.
Oh, it's 100%
Jeopardy-driven. Jeopardy-specific.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe in my classroom is the next big Jeopardy person when the...
Who's to say?
When the current trans girl who is dominating at Jeopardy finally retires.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
How do you know this?
How do I know about this?
How do you know who is dominating Jeopardy?
Well, I don't know her name, so
let's see if I could put that in a Jeopardy question format.
Yes. And for 500.
Who is Andrea?
No, who is the answer?
Who is what?
That's how you formulate the answer. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Like,
oh, okay.
Who is name of person dominating?
I like that Andrea is your trans girl name.
Yeah, I was thinking Starlight.
Okay.
Starfire.
That's more of a non-binary name, but
okay.
We're getting into
right.
the deep
I got lost.
Knowledge that I don't expect a cis person to just know.
No, here's the thing.
The weird names...
I'm driving,
the
so
weird
I got...
non-person names... tend to be for non-binary people.
Right.
At
yeah.
my partner, Phoenix.
I got trans woman
yeah.
mixed up with non-binary.
Yes.
Because I'm driving.
But you're an ally.
I'm an ally, and I have limited attention.
Trans.
This deficit disorder.
The stereotype that is often borne out, but is not always borne out, is that trans girls will pick... like really austere, beautiful, kind of vampire-esque names, like Cassandra or whatever.
Not Robin.
Robin is a trans boy name.
Oh.
trans boys.
Oh, boy.
Well, I only say that because I have a friend whose brother's name is Robin.
Okay.
Anyway, but trans guys will pick the most regular, degular ass names. I swear to fucking Christ, and
Paul.
this is not me calling out any of my friends who are named Adam or whose middle names are Adam. I know your middle name is also Adam.
Yeah.
But I know
not my fault,
so many fucking trans Adams. So many, like, you know, just like, fuck, Jacks. So many trans Jacks. It's like the place is fucking lousy with them.
Okay.
I don't know what it is about the, like, the one syllable, like,
it seems like,
you know,
a real
really
guy
basic
name.
I mean, Adam, yeah. I fucking asked a kid at boxing, like, at my trans boxing gym before the gym moved, and I haven't gone to the new location because I struggle with going to new places. Anyway, his name was Adam, guy I literally just met, and I was like, hey, can I ask you something? And he was like, sure. I was like, did you choose that name? And he was like, yes. And I was like, why did you choose the name Adam? And he was like, I don't know, just thought it was a good name. I was like, and I gave him many outs when I asked this question. I was like, you know, I just think, you know, biblical first man, like, whatever, like, makes a lot of sense if you're, like, you know,
right,
proto, like, first trans guy name that you pick would
right
be Adam.
Right.
And he was just like, I just like it. And I was like, bro, the fucking trans girls are out here, out, like, with their fucking vampira-ass names.
Right. You gotta do better.
Do better.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
Meanwhile, and then we have, you know, I'm not gonna put anybody besides my partner on blast for names. You know what? I'll put one person on blast. I did go on a date with a person named Laser.
Whoa.
And using your newfound knowledge, can you tell what this person's transgender identity was?
Non-binary.
Correct.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Non-binary names for 200, please.
Specifically, this was a he-they, but...
Okay.
But
he-they?
Yes.
He-they?
Yeah, you
I
can mix it up.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you
my
can
God
do multiple things.
All right. Duly noted. Now I forgot what... No. Okay. So, yesterday... This is only one day ago, so I'll remember this for a while, actually.
Okay.
So I went to, you know, just because it was nice enough out, Noah and I walked to a bakery near Point A.
Okay.
And when we got to the bakery building, just outside the door as we're going in, there is, I would guess, a around 5-year-old-ish girl with, I would be inclined to think, her mother.
Sure.
Having a meltdown.
Okay.
And it was getting going pretty good.
Yes.
And
Noah,
under the best of circumstances, is not a fan of young child voices or crying.
Yeah.
But this was like cranking up to be pretty good. And then when we came out, having purchased our baked goods, this pair of people were, you know, not too far from the entrance. And as we wended our way, because we weren't going to linger because of the sound coming out of the kid.
Sure.
There was screaming. It was raspy. It would peel paint. I felt so bad for the mother, particularly when we heard from a little distance at this point, because we had moved on. No reason to stick around. The kids say, I don't want to be with you anymore. And I'm like, oh my God, I felt
harsh.
So bad for the mom.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was a mom and not like a nanny. Because
uh-huh
if it was a nanny, it was just like, okay, dude, I'm on my phone. I don't know what you're saying. You know, it'd be more like, okay, you're creating... I mean, it was like this kid, and there was no apparent, you know, it was a classic meltdown. So there was, you really felt as you sort of walked by this incident, this happening, that there was little to no, like, legitimate trigger. It wasn't as if the mom had pulled like a Bowie knife on the kid or anything. Uh-huh. There's nothing like that in evidence. It was more like, you know, they didn't have the cookie that the kid wanted, or you know, something maybe even more innocuous than that, because that could be traumatizing. They didn't have my cookie, let's face it. But it felt like it came out of nowhere, and it was just like a mood thing, and it was like, wow. I mean, I've seen meltdowns. I know they happen. But, yeah, this was a royal meltdown. I don't know if I've seen anyone as good as, you know, and like, part of me is like, it's like going to watch the fireworks on 4th of July. You know, like, mostly I was like, oh, that's bad, and the poor mother. But part of it was like, whoa, this is impressive.
Yeah, this one's going to last.
Yeah. I was like, oh, look at that mushroom cloud.
It's impressive. So beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, look at the light on that. The sunlight on the top of the mushroom cloud. Uh-huh. You know, we can find beauty anywhere, but...
Sure.
One is aware that there are also darker connotations to what's going on. Why did I bring that up? What was the trigger? Kids melting down. Oh, maybe second graders? I don't know. I don't know what it was, but I just needed to mention that. Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah, no, you know, giving the notes, you know, so your kid, so this would be like, I don't even know. I don't know what note you would give for that. And it's like, yeah, somebody needs some kind of, and I was also thinking, like, if I were in that mother's position, which thank God I never was. Thank you, Mal, and your sibling. But, you know, I mean, I guess I've been with people who have gone off. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been around for a while, so I've probably seen some things.
Yeah.
That maybe made an impression. That didn't happen yesterday. Mm-hmm. And all I could think of, you know, as I was walking away, I was like, what would I do in this situation? And I think, like, all you could do is to just be there and maybe very sparingly make kind of supporting noises. Because...
God, look at this.
Yeah, I know. The more you... Yeah, but let's see, they let him go. So that was good.
Yeah, but that was still a bonehead mistake.
Yeah.
And everyone's pointing and laughing at that stupid-ass truck.
I guess. I mean, it's good that they let... You know, you gotta be generous, people. Yeah, so I think the best you could do is just kind of be there, probably not make a whole lot of noise, because there's plenty of noise happening already.
Sure.
And... the last thing you'd want to do, which the mother was not doing, is to lose it yourself, because now you got two people losing it at each other.
Yeah, and that is...
That's counterproductive.
And that is hard. It is hard, because you have something that is very, very, very overstimulating.
Yeah.
And also upsetting. The sound of baby crying, it's upsetting to everybody, even if it doesn't, like, you know, upset you the way it upsets Noah. It's still your first instinct is, please God, make it stop.
Yeah.
No matter what. And so, like, I don't know. I have a lot of experience with kids. I have some experience with kids melting down. Right. But I have a lot of experience with people my age melting down.
Right.
I do it all the time.
It's not limited to...
Yeah. And so, like, you know, I have... I can go into a situation with that feeling fairly confident, and also knowing that if this doesn't stop soon, that's also okay. Like, it'll be okay.
Yeah, but this was an older kid, so it's...
Oh, how old was this kid?
I mean, this was like five-year-old.
Okay, yeah.
Ish, I'm guessing.
Yeah, older than a baby, but still.
Right.
But sometimes my kids in school have, like, just screamed so loud that it just shuts my brain down and I can't say anything while that's happening.
Right.
And all I can do at that point is just, like, wait for them to stop.
Yeah.
And just blink, like, oh my God. But they can't do that forever. And then I'm like, we're at school. We don't yell at our teacher like that.
I think there's also parents who would be like, no, I am not going to tolerate this for a second. Grab the kid by the ear and, sort of a physical reaction. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's ideal either.
No.
It certainly wouldn't be my way, but I think there were parents who would react that way. And I think those kids are probably pre-trained and traumatized enough that they probably would not even get into the meltdown because they've been smacked.
Yeah.
It's been smacked out of them, which they'll probably do with their kids.
Well, that's what they say.
Yeah.
And they say that, and also, like, and people are like, well, that's not always true. And it's like the number of friends whom I've had over the years who are like, well, I was like spanked and beaten and whatever as a kid when I misbehaved and like, and I'm fine. And I'm like, guarantee you're not fine. Guaranteed you are not fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're not. Like.
Right. I thought you were going to say, and that's what I'm going to do.
No, and they'll say that sometimes. They'll be like, yeah, if my kid talks back to me, I'll smack him.
Yeah,
I'm like,
just need to smack
him. Sometimes I can't say anything about this because it's a cultural thing or whatever.
Right.
But it's wrong. It doesn't matter what your culture is. It's wrong to hit a kid. Like, just think about a baby. Would you hit a baby?
Right.
No. And I've said before, like, there are things that we need as kids that we don't stop needing. We just stop getting. Like recess time.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, really, really unfortunate because the kids still need that. They still need the affection. And not only do kids still need it, adults need it in an appropriate way. You know? Because, like, grown-up friends, they might hug, like, but they're not going to be, like, all over each other the way that teenage friends are. You know?
Right.
And, like, you know, if you don't have a life partner that you get a lot of physical affection from, and not everybody has, first of all, a life partner, and second of all, a life partner they get a lot of physical affection from, unless you're, like, one of the people who, like, really, really can't stand physical touch, which is totally fair, chances are you need that. You need to be, like, you know.
Right.
You need the positive physical input, like, throughout your entire life. You're never going to stop needing that.
I think a takeaway I'm getting from this is parents, don't build abusers.
Yeah.
If you can help it.
Yeah. Build a bear, not abusers.
Yeah, that's exactly. So
yeah.
All that. Ben,
I may have already talked about this on the podcast. I don't remember, but when we had that really excellent training seminar thing for teaching, our instructor person was like, "You can't co-regulate if you're not regulated." So if your student is having a meltdown, you can't go over and be like, okay, let's take a deep breath, if you yourself are also on the verge of a meltdown.
Right.
If you're not doing good, you can't make sure that they're good.
Right.
It's the whole, like, you know, you have
oxygen
to secure
mask.
Your own oxygen mask before helping others.
Right.
Which is an apt metaphor that never stops being apt.
Right.
But also she was like, she's a teacher, and so she's in the classroom and gets it, which was very refreshing because we're used to hearing these things. And she's like, but sometimes your kid is like hitting another kid or throwing something, and and your first instinct is stop it.
You just
put it down.
You want to grab that kid out of there.
Well, yeah, you just need the behavior to stop immediately because it could get dangerous.
Right.
And sometimes that is the appropriate reaction.
Right.
Even if it's not
like
textbook gentle parenting.
Right. Like
the kid,
you don't have time to meditate.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, there was this video that was making the rounds a while ago where this parent grabbed her kid by, like, her ponytail or whatever because the kid was leaning forward to blow out her birthday candle, so it was about to light her face on fire.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh my God, she's pulling her hair, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's stopping her from burning her face off. Once you have kids who do bonehead shit that you have to react quickly to to save them, you can talk about this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've done some bonehead shit when I was young.
Yeah. That's, I mean, listen, We all got to watch daytime television sometimes. We all got to break a few bones. It's part of the human experience.
Well, thank God I never did any real damage. I mean, I did end up breaking my best friend John Mintz's wrist by pushing him playfully over a, to be fair to myself and unfair to everybody else, a pretty low chain link fence. Uh-huh. It was climbing the fence. It was near the baseball field where we used to play touch football, the outfield. And he was climbing over it, probably just to get a ball or something, or maybe for fun. And I came up behind him and playfully, like, pushed him so he, like, folded over. And, I mean, it was, like, a little higher than maybe waist high. Uh-huh. So he ends up doing a handstand on his wrist on the other side.
Yeah.
And breaks his wrist. And then this was the summer before sixth grade. So then he's in a cast. And we're, you know, we go around everywhere together because we're still friends, although he's pretty miffed at me.
Yeah.
And people would say to him, John, what happened to your wrist? And I'd be standing there and he'd say, this idiot.
You know what? And I think that that's,
yeah.
That's where the punishment fits the crime.
Yeah.
You did a dumb thing, you get a dumb punishment, and then once the cast is over, it's done. You guys are copacetic.
It's true. We must have been okay, because eventually, between 12th grade and college, we ended up backpacking around Europe together, so he must have forgiven me.
Drag that poor kid all over Europe.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. I made us go to, like, 21 cities in 35 days or something like that.
That's insane.
Yeah, where he would have liked to spend more time in a place, which in later life I realized is a better way to travel.
Yes, but the impetuosity of youth.
It's like, oh, we can see this and we can see that. And, like, you know, in my defense, I was left in charge of the itinerary.
My defense, I was left unsupervised.
Exactly. Yeah, so, John, it really was your fault. I don't think John has listened to this, by the way.
But, and why not?
I just, you know, for whatever mysterious reason, people don't listen to our podcast. That's a subject for a whole other riff or thread. The mystery of why people would not have listened. Yeah.
I think there's value in making it, no matter how many listeners that we have.
Value in it, right? The Zen art of podcasting.
Well, yeah. I mean, its most core level, this is like just you and me talking while you drive me back to Redacted.
What?
So
what is this? What is this insanity you just said?
I know. Okay. But, like, you know, and there's value in that anyway, and we're just
right.
You know. Recording it, and one of us is painstakingly editing it and slaving over it.
Finding the episode in the ride.
Yeah.
Don't try this at home.
Well, no, you have to try it on the way to home.
Yeah.
Or on the way from home in your case.
Podcasting. This is being done by professionals.
Yes, don't try this at home.
Yeah. I'm thinking of, like, a mashup of the Zen Koan.
Koan.
Right. Zen Koan.
Oh, I went to Hebrew school with that guy.
Yeah, exactly. He's kind of a hippie parents.
Yeah.
Kind of a mashup between that and the famous thing that Bishop Berkeley said, which is spelled Berkeley, what is the sound of one hand clapping, being the koan,
sure,
and the Berkeleyism, if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody there to hear it,
yes,
does it happen?
No, did it make a sound?
Does it make a sound, but also, like, did it happen? Was it a thing if nobody knows about it, basically?
Sure.
That was his point. And he used that as a proof of, because he was a bishop, a proof of the existence of God. God is needed in order for there to have been the tree falling in the forest when nobody was around to see it. Well, God saw it, so it happened.
Okay. Like, first gut instinct answer is there's always something around that can perceive sound. There are always going to be wood lice in some of the trees. There's always going to be animals, you know, whatever. There are even plants that are affected.
Yeah, I mean, the tree. Like, yeah. The tree that fell probably knows.
Yeah, the tree knows. The tree's and like, everything oh, that fuck. Was living in the tree. And yeah. all of the smaller trees underneath it that now suddenly have more sunlight. Like, they're all, right. like, you know, impacted by this. They sense in whatever capacity they're able to sense that it happened. But the philosophical half of that is, like, you know, we're talking about Schrodinger. Like, Schrodinger's cat.
As usual.
Yeah, as usual, we're back to Schrodinger.
Right.
As referred to my lecture series,
well,
you know.
Episode 26.
Parts 1 through 7. Anyway. You know, when you talk about Schrodinger's cat, it's a cat. It's inside this box. You don't know if it's alive or dead. And so quantum...
Physics
states that it's both at the same time. So, this person not fucking looking where
that's all right. I'm not going to run them over.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Cool beans.
Oh, fuck whatever. It. I'll go through the red light, and so will you, right? Okay. No.
Okay. Okay. Anyway. So
and did that matter that we honked? You're going to get
there. Did it make
there.
Us feel better?
I mean, is it, you're going to get there at the same time as you would have.
Yeah. So if you have a tree, say, it's in a windowless box, nothing else is inside of this box, it's just a tree, and you can't see into it, nobody can see into it, you can't hear, you can't perceive if it were to fall, it's like it is both fallen and not fallen at the same time. That's what quantum physics tells us, but also, like, you know, it asks us to examine, like, not that there must be something observing at all times and that means God exists, because that's ridiculous. That's like, you're skipping like 12 other things to get there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
12 other better things to get there. But like, that, you could say there's an empirical, measurable truth of like, either the tree is fallen or it is not, and who's to say? And on the other hand, you could say, like, it doesn't fucking matter. It's in a box. Nihilism, you know?
Right.
Like, trees don't exist in boxes. They do have a real world. If you want to talk about realism, they do have a real world impact when they fall. Like, they're always going to be perceived by at least something, no matter what, if they fall. Does it, like, greatly alter the state of the universe for a tree to fall? No, but it does for some creatures. It might greatly alter the state of the smaller trees underneath it who are now getting more sunlight. Like, you know, it
and do they not matter?
Yeah, and like, and do they not matter as much as the other tree? Like, whatever. But also, if you're like, data, perceivable data, needs to be perceived. And so, if nothing is perceiving this data, then you have no fucking idea. And so it's just a thought experiment. This can't happen in real life. It's never going to happen in real life. But, like, does it matter when something happens and it's not perceivable and you can't collect hard data on it and you don't know when it happened?
It was very,
whatever.
Very human-centric thing. Like, if people don't see it...
Sure.
Does it happen?
Sure.
So what Barclay is saying is, if he's saying, does it make a sound, he's really saying human, you know, experience is so, like, vitally important to the importance of the universe.
Sure.
That if nobody hears it, it doesn't make a sound.
Sure.
That's what he's saying.
Which is terrible.
Yeah.
Humans have only been here for, like, you know, a little while.
So, pulling it all together, the outro, possible, impossible. Maybe we could use the sticker on the back of the police car in front of us that says $10,000 reward.
Yeah. Yes.
Call 1-800-COP-SHOT. Oh, my God.
If you see somebody shoot a cop, that's what it's for.
Oh, my God. All right, forget about your gambling problem.
Yeah, no, this is worse than the cancer kills on.
Okay. All right.
Cigarette, smoking kills on the cigarette.
Pouch. I don't
want to touch that.
Scene on the way, though.
Yes.
And there's like an ambulance in front.
Yes.
Hopefully it's not related to anybody being shot.
Hopefully not.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe someone's just having a meltdown.
Okay. That would be way better.
I mean, there's times where that, you know, if that's the worst, it could be worse.
Sure. This is true. I don't know if I can
pull it all together,
at least.
All right.
You know.
I have a lame thing.
Sure.
Sometimes, this is so lame. Get ready for lame.
Okay.
Sometimes you can't pull it all together.
Okay.
And sometimes that's the answer.
Okay. Sometimes.
As Schrodinger would say.
Well, I was going to say, sometimes you shouldn't bet on if the cat is dead or not.
Okay.
In the box.
You just don't know.
Yeah. It's
all right.
And also, like,
gambling problem, stop betting on everything.
And, like, what if you're right and that means that a cat is dead? That would be bad.
Stop. I got it. Gambling problem, stop betting on everything.
Yes.
And you know, like, take a health day and watch some Jeopardy.
Yes. Stop betting and watch Jeopardy. And if you get the urge to bet on who wins the Jeopardy episode,
right,
don't.
Drink some cold water and
I need some cornflakes.
Exactly. All right, we got it.
All right.
It'll have to be that.
All right.
Fist bump.
I love you.
I love you too.
Fist bump. Get home safe.
In lieu of hug.
Yes. Cowabunga.
And love you too. Get home safe.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Bye.
All right. Signing off.